I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and make sure you always mortgage confidently. Time to recap another weekend in college football as the regular season is winding on down. And before you know it, it will be conference championship games, a little Army-Navy, Heisman Trophy presentation, and then bowl season will be here. And the college football playoffs are coming right up around the corner. So let's touch on it all right now with a national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. And that's Matt Mershell, who's kind enough to join us on CBS Sports Radio. Matt, thank you for the time, and how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great, and I do appreciate you coming on. So you were covering UCF in Cincinnati. UCF quickly takes care of Cincinnati after a little good start by Cincinnati to go up 6-0. I did see the comments by the UCF quarterback earlier in the week, Mackenzie Milton, who said they are better than Notre Dame. What did you make of those comments, and what do you think about UCF as they're in a situation where it looks like they're going to win two more games and run the table before the bowl game, but we know they're not going to be in the college football playoff?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that those comments are something that just show that the kind of confidence that this team has and the confidence that Mackenzie Milton has. He was asked about those at the end of this game, you know, post game, and he said that, you know, he still stands by them. He says this team is a very good team. They saw what they've been able to do. They've won 23 straight games. They looked impressive tonight against Cincinnati. This is a team right now that is playing really well and really confident, and they seem to kind of embrace the challenge that's ahead of them. They know that they've got two more games. They've got to beat their rival USF next week, and then they've got to face, you know, a team in the American Athletic Conference championship game. If they get past that, they are definitely going to be guaranteed a spot in a New Year's Six bowl game. They would love to be in the playoff discussion, but it's probably not going to happen this year. So, I mean, again, this is a team right now that has had 2 years of really sustained success. They're excited about that, but they know there's bigger things up on the horizon.
How far away do you think we are from expansion of the college football playoff? And if they do expand to, let's say, 8 teams, would a non-Power 5 school, in your opinion, be guaranteed or should be guaranteed a spot if they go to 8 teams?
Well, I think, you know, we're not as close as some people think, maybe when it comes to the idea of expansion of the playoff. I think it's going to, if it were to happen, it's going to happen at the end of the current contract, which would be, I think it's 2024, 2025 type range. And I think it would definitely have to involve getting the Power Five conferences together and asking them, you know, if they're interested in it. I think it would take, you know, a conference like the Big Ten or the Pac-12 or the Big 12, maybe not getting a team into the playoff, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 years in a row, that they may be more kind of thinking along the idea of let's expand, let's make it go to either 6 or 8, and then either looking at maybe, you know, finding a way to either add, you know, conference championship, the winners automatically get in, and then maybe a group of 5 spot as well. But I'm just not sure if everyone's willing to go that far. Again, there's a lot that has to be decided. There's also some talk that if that were to happen, you'd probably have to look at maybe there's a possibility of limiting conference games or conference championship games. So there's a lot on the table, and I don't think it's something that's just going to happen overnight.
I always look for what way could have the most chaos, and if there's going to be a lot of chaos, then maybe that makes us a little bit closer to expansion. And this year, you could have that chaos, especially if Georgia is able to defeat Alabama in the SEC title game. But even if they don't, an interesting scenario that I've been throwing around as well is what happens if Michigan loses to Ohio State, Ohio State wins the Big Ten, and you have Oklahoma wins out and they win the Big 12. I think that'd be an interesting decision between Oklahoma and Ohio State. I would lean more towards Oklahoma to get into the college football playoff, but there's a lot of big-time scenarios where you could have a major school with maybe only one loss on their resume be left out of the college football playoff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a possibility. I mean, you know, look at the last year, you know, the Big Ten champion didn't get into the playoffs,
yep.
You know. I mean, it's not unheard of that if Ohio State were to beat Michigan, you know, and you know, they might be left out as the Big Ten champion. Let's say we were to beat Northwestern, you know, that they could be left out as the Big Ten champion. You know, Oklahoma could even have a struggles if they even win the Big 12 because everyone's going to continue to point at their defensive efforts and the fact that they struggle on defense. So I don't think it's a given. And that's where I mean when I say we talk about expansion, where I think there are going to be some conference commissioners who are going to be looking around saying, hey, listen, you know, we haven't gotten a team into the playoff, you know, 3 or 4 years in a row. You know, we want to, you know, the whole idea is we want to see that. And I think also, too, if they start hearing from fans, if you start seeing two SEC teams, you know, coming in week, you know, year in and year out, I think fans are going to be a little bit upset by that and feel a little bit like there needs to be bigger opportunities for other teams. So that's when I think you'll start seeing some of these commissioners start paying attention and maybe pushing the idea of expanding to whether it's 6 or 8 in the long run.
And you'd also have the perfect spokesperson at Michigan. If Michigan, if they were able to win out and were left out of the college football playoff, because you know Harbaugh would be going nuts.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's what I mean. He would be the one that would be going on, you know, he would be going on every show. He would be, you know, complaining. And, you know, I think then that's when as a commissioner you start thinking, okay, maybe now's the time to make the move.
Matt Mershell joins us, national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel right now on CBS Sports Radio. Let's go around some of the other games from today. Ohio State and Maryland. What a wild game that was. And Maryland, they should have won it at the end, but their quarterback just couldn't complete the two-point conversion.
Yeah, I mean, a disappointing loss, I'm sure, from Maryland. I mean, listen, Matt Canada has done a great job as the interim coach there for the Terrapins. I felt like, you know, he'll probably get a much longer look at possibly getting the interim tag taken off, maybe becoming the permanent coach there as well. I think this says more about Ohio State. I mean, there's definitely some struggles there defensively. They can't seem to stop everyone. They're giving up a lot of big plays. I think it may knock them a little bit. It may hurt them this next upcoming Tuesday when it comes to the rankings. They may fall behind somebody, maybe like a UCF, because of the fact that they continue to struggle defensively.
With Urban Meyer, I understand his health is always a controversial topic with how it ended at Florida. But when I was watching that game on Saturday, he just did not look healthy on the sideline. What do you think his future has in store?
You know, I agree with you. I thought he was the most animated I've seen him on the sidelines ever. You know, he seemed every play was almost, you know, make or break for him, and he was so animated. I've thought to myself this year that, you know, this might be the year. I know he's talked about he's going to come back, and he wants to continue to coach. I just think at the end of it all, you know, with everything that's happened between him and the school, and I mean, it seems almost like a whole season ago that we were, you know, he was suspended for the first 3 games of the season. But, you know, all that going on and everything happening, I just think that stress eventually is going to get to him. He said before before he took the Ohio State job that if this job got in the way of his health and he really kind of interfered with his family life, that he would probably start thinking about walking away. So I wouldn't be shocked if he were to make that move at the end of the season, maybe just taking some time off to think about it. But again, you know, he's a coach, and coaches like to kind of stick things out. Maybe he tries to go another year and see what happens.
Let's get to the Alabama game, Alabama-Citadale. I thought this was going to be 30-0 right in the first few minutes of the first quarter. It was 10-10 at halftime. I wonder what Nick Saban said at half. I would love to be a fly on the wall to get that speech to the team, because he would definitely probably be animated on that one, and end up showing out in the second half that Alabama was easily able to put away Citadale.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure when they saw the halftime score, people across the country thought, wow, this might, you know, imagine this, the Citadel being the team that upsets, you know, Alabama.
It'd be like UMBC in the NCAA tournament.
Yes, exactly. So I think people thought that, but you know that wasn't going to happen. Yep. Alabama's just too good of a team. And I agree. I think Nick Saban probably came out. Listen, it's easy sometimes for teams to overlook an opponent like a team like the Citadel or someone from the FCS, rankings. You know, I think that's probably a little bit what happened. You know, let's not forget Tua Tagovailoa was banged up going into this game. There was talk that he might not even play, but he did play. I'm sure Nick at halftime stressed the idea that you can't overlook these teams, go out there and continue to put the pedal to the metal. Because, listen, they've got to beat Auburn next week, and then they're going to have to get ready for a good Georgia team in a couple weeks for the SEC Championship. So they couldn't let this game kind of get past them.
What do you think Bama and Georgia is going to come down to? Because I think that's such a fun and intriguing matchup, and obviously a rematch of the national championship game from a year ago.
Well, you know, I think what you come down to is just, you know, the physicality. I think one of the things that Alabama's done a good job this year, they've been very physical on the defensive line. I think they're going to have to be that way. They're going to try to contain DeAndre Swift, the Georgia running back. I think also they've got to get to Jake Fromm and make his life kind of miserable. I think having the experience that, you know, Georgia had last year, I think that's going to help them out a little bit. You know, they know that they've played, you know, Alabama in these big games. They know that, you know, they're going to have an opportunity to do, you know, big things. If they can knock off Alabama, they're going to get themselves back into the playoff and see what happens. So I don't think this is as nearly good of a team, as talented a team as Georgia had last year, but I still think that they've played some big games. I think this gives them an opportunity maybe to go in there and know that they're not going to be afraid. They know they can beat Alabama. They just have to, get it done on the field.
moving to West Virginia and Oklahoma State, at one point I looked at the scoreboard and I saw it was 31-14, and I thought that game was over. Oklahoma State, what a dramatic victory, winning 45-41.
Yeah, I mean, credit Mike Gundy. I mean, the last 2 weeks, you know, you think about it, I mean, he took, you know, Oklahoma to the very end, almost beat them on a two-point conversion. You know, he beats West Virginia this week. It's not a great year for Oklahoma State. They're a program that's basically rebuilding. But to knock off West Virginia, to kind of shake things up in the Big 12 race, you know, that's really going to make things kind of interesting. And, you know, that opens the door now for Texas to control its own destiny. They got an opportunity, you know, to get into the Big 12 championship game and make some noise. And we've been trying to say for months that Texas is back, but maybe this gives them the opportunity to do that, you know, once the West Virginia gets the loss.
Another storyline that you're close to is Willie Taggart and the job he's doing at FSU. Not a successful year in year number one, but was able to get a win up against Boston College. Just how about the Taggart situation at Florida State and how you view it right now?
Well, you know, I'm not a big believer that Taggart's going to get fired after this year. I think that'd be crazy. Yeah, I think that'd be crazy. The buyout's too big. And I also just think that, you know, no school is going to make that move. I think they're going to give some time what's going on. I think when Jimbo Fisher left the program, I think there was definitely some holes there. So, you know, I think they're going to give Willie an opportunity. Listen, this is a big game. You know, this Florida State game next week, which is a big rivalry game to begin with, you know, there was going to be a little bit, it lost some of its luster, especially if Florida State had lost today against Boston College. That would have snapped that bowl, you know, 39-year bowl streak. So for that to then get that win today, I mean, that makes this game now even more interesting. And then it really kind of opens things up. I mean, you know, Florida State wants to win this game. Florida really has nothing to play for, maybe, but a New Year's Six bowl game. So I think it makes things a little bit intriguing as we go into the game next weekend.
Matt Michelle with us on CBS Sports Radio. Let me ask you about some other coaching opportunities. It appears that Les Miles is finalizing a contract with Kansas. What was your first reaction on that one?
I guess Kansas is looking for a big name. You know, they want someone that's going to draw, you know, maybe fill the stands. I think Les is intriguing in the sense that I think he'll recruit well because he's Les Miles. But again, you know, I think if I'm Kansas, I want to go in kind of a little bit of a different direction. You know, maybe, you know, you see what the Big 12 is doing, scoring lots of points, very little defense. You know, I think, you know, I don't know if Les is going to be able to coach in that realm. I think he's going to have to find a suitable offensive coordinator, and he's going to have to find, you know, go out there and push a program that really isn't, you know, a school that really isn't known for football. It's really known for basketball. And I think, you know, the level of the bar of success isn't going to be very high, which might be just what he wants for a guy who's trying to get back into coaching.
With Louisville, with that job being open, and I would assume USC will eventually become open by the end of the year, just what are some names maybe that you have on the horizon for Louisville and USC?
Well, I think Louisville is definitely Jeff Brohm. I think he's going to be the guy that's going to get the offer. It's kind of a similar situation to what Scott Frost went through, you know, here at UCF, you know, going back to Nebraska. So if he, you know, if Brohm wants to go home and wants to coach his former team, I mean, I think that would be, you know, it's going to be really hard for him to make that decision. Purdue, I still think, is a good program. I think he's got it going on the right track. Whether he wants to make that or not will be interesting. I think USC is even more intriguing because, again, you know, that's a program that wants to try to make a big splash higher. You know, they didn't do it necessarily with Clay Helton, but normally they want to throw some big names out there. You've got a Pac-12 conference that's loaded with personalities, you know, with Chip Kelly and Herm Edwards and Mike Leach, you know, and I think it's going to be interesting who you kind of go out and find that's got a big name there. There isn't really anyone out there right now outside of maybe Les Miles, or do you try to go maybe the other route like you did with Clay Helton and maybe try to find a young up-and-coming assistant coach, you know, someone or up-and-coming coach, maybe he's at a Group of Five school, you know, Scott Satterfield, you know, over at Appalachian State was someone that comes to mind. But again, USC is a program that, you know, you've got all the talent and all the resources there. It's just got to get in the wins, get some wins together to kind of make things right.
And before we let you run, take your best guess at it. Who are going to be the top four teams in the college football playoff when we get ready for the semifinals?
Well, I think it's going to be Alabama. I think Clemson. I still think Notre Dame and Michigan. I wouldn't be shocked to see those four teams go all the way through. I know it's not very sexy. It's not very, you know, people will be.
I'm
you know,
with you. As much as I want to see all this chaos, I'm with you. That's what I think the four teams are going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. I think the teams will get the business done. And I think they'll go that route. You know, I know people think that maybe Georgia pops in there, or maybe in Oklahoma. You know, depending on if they win, but I just have a funny feeling it's going to be very kind of a ho-hum type of announcement when we get to that point, which, you know, I mean, that's what the system is set up, and these teams are doing what they had to do.
And then I guess you would sign up for a Bama-Clemson national championship game. That's my best guess on where you would go on that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think when you look at an Alabama-Clemson, I think Clemson right now is the team that most, you know, likely could match up well with Alabama right now. You know, you look at their defensive line. It's one of the best defensive lines in the country. They've got all sorts of first-round draft picks on it. You know, I think they'll do a good job there. Trevor Lawrence is a great quarterback. He can obviously help, you know, really kind of get their offense moving. They've got a solid running attack. I think they match up really well with Alabama. And I think we could see this, what, third or fourth year of this. And I know fans are getting a little bit tired of it, but it's the two best teams, it appears, in the country.
At OS Matt Mershell on Twitter. Matt Mershell does a great job covering college football for the Orlando Sentinel. Matt, always appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.